Shared belief. Mike Smith never even thought about going to the stick. They cantering home. This is absolute poetry in motion. Ears cocked, he could go round again, could shared belief.
There were these two racing dudes named Aaron and Jared who had advice on racing and they wanted to share it. Started a website where players go to see all their picks. The goal was make the fans some money and to cut down the risk. They put the plan into motion and at first it seemed silly. Make a website where the expert picks are freer than Willie. From a racetrack veteran to just a beginner, there's one place that you want to go to find you a winner. As a matter of fact, I want to hit the exacta. There's only one site that you'll keep coming back to. So next time that the horses all line up at the post, make sure you use the website that'll win you the most. Whether Churchill, Oaklawn, Gulfstream Park, Saratoga, and all tracks in between, there's only one site to go to. When it comes to your racing needs and all of your bets, plus it's got a catchy name that no one ever forgets. RacingDudes.com for all of your needs. RacingDudes.com for all of your leads. RacingDudes.com for all of your bets. RacingDudes.com, as good as it gets. RacingDudes.com for all of your needs. RacingDudes.com for all of your leads. RacingDudes.com for all of your bets. RacingDudes.com, as good as it gets.
What is up? I'm Jared Welch. He's Aaron Haltzman. This is another edition of Blinkers Off. What's up, dude?
What's up, man? And we're back off of another huge weekend of racing, and then we've got another one to look forward to coming up this weekend. A lot happened last weekend as far as the Derby and the Oaks are concerned, and it should just, you know, keep on rolling from here.
Yeah, we had Shagaff prove us wrong in the Gotham. Prove you wrong, definitely. You're really feeling that one still.
Yep.
And of course Songbird just steamrolled and further proved that she is the horse to beat in the Kentucky Oaks. I mean, she was something special, wasn't she?
Yeah, she did the same thing she done the first time there at Santa Anita. Just absolutely blew the doors off of them, and without being asked really to run. So it was really good from her. Shagaff, give credit where credit's due. He won the race. He's definitely in the race for the Kentucky Derby now, 50 Derby points. And, you know, that's what you're supposed to do in these prep races, right? You're supposed to win them.
Yeah, but, I mean, from my point of view, if you listened to the show last week, you know I picked Shagaff on my team. So I was obviously happy he won. But I picked against him in our, you know, in our handicapping. Mm-hmm. But also just watching the race, I thought, wow, I mean, I don't necessarily see that I can depend on this horse much further down. You know, I'm glad I got my points back for my claim, but past that, I just I'm not totally sure what he is. I know he's got to improve. That was a very slow running of the Gotham.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what we really have in New York totally altogether anyway, so that might be the biggest key. You know, the wood will be interesting to see how he runs in the wood. He's got to continue to keep, I guess, he's got no reason not to, I guess, is the best way to say that, though.
I do think he will improve, and he has to, like you said. He's not going to be able to win the Kentucky Derby running like that, running that slow. I think the two things that are really going for him is he's still developing. This was only his third race, you know, first time against Stakes Company, and he got it done. The other thing is, I think the distance of the Kentucky Derby will help the horse. I do think he's a stayer. He looks more like a grinder to me that's just going to stay the distance and maybe get better as they get longer. And I think the best thing you could say about him as far as the Gotham, it was probably that day at Aqueduct, one of the worst speed-favoring tracks I can remember in a day. I mean, it was really unbelievable how speed-favoring the track was. And even though it was a maiden that he was out there in front that they all had to catch, he was the only one that was able to make up any ground on him. And he did do it. And not that he was, you know, tremendously far back, but he did, you know, make up 3-4 lengths and win the race. So you got to give him credit for that. But again, the wood is really going to tell
track,
us a lot.
That track was so ridiculous. Yeah. It was so bad that you could look at on paper. You wish it was this easy all the time, or else, I guess you don't, because wouldn't be any fun. But you look on paper and say, okay, well, speed favoring today.
Mm-hmm.
We know the inside is super hot, and we know that what Loban, whatever you have to pronounce it, mm-hmm. he's got blinkers back on now. This horse has a real-time shot. I mean, you just look at all that and say, yeah, that horse has a very big chance to win, even though the horse is like 20-1.
Yeah, you text me, you know, because you were watching the races like I were that day, and you text me and you said, I think that horse is going to win. And you were being serious.
Yeah.
I think he'll win the race. And I thought to myself, you might be right. And really, until the last 50 yards, I thought he was still going to win.
So it does say a lot to be able, you know, slow or not, yeah. that he was able to, because like you said, no one fought through that bias all day.
And people have said, well, this isn't your typical maiden, and they're kind of right about that. But again, you look at this, this is not a great horse. Lauban is, he's not
no.
very good.
No.
When you look at the race he was exiting, the Sham, where he finished third, a pretty good beaten third, the two horses that beat him didn't come back to do anything. I mean, that was one of the worst runnings of the Sham, maybe ever. So, I mean, I just, I, you know, yeah, he's a little bit better than your average maiden, but, you know, the track helped him so much in that race.
And then on the other end of things, with Songbird, obviously there's not a lot to talk about. We've seen, it's like we keep seeing the same race from her over and over. And that is kind of why, the reason I said it that way is because we have, there's a lot of people out there starting to say, well, she's not being tested. She's very one-dimensional.
Mm-hmm.
She's got to have the lead. You know, a lot of things saying, well, when it gets deeper, she's not going to be as good. And my argument for that is, well, one, she did win the Breeders' Cup. So it's been pretty deep so far. One, mm-hmm. you know. But past that, I don't think she's a horse that needs the lead like a lot of people think. She's just a horse that finds herself on the lead all the time because she's that much better, that much faster than the rest of them. Like Mike said, I have no problem, and she was perfectly content with those horses that were up on my outside, if letting them go past me.
Yeah. But
they're going to have to put, he's like, he said, they're going to have to put up the numbers to do it. If they can't put up the numbers, then they're not going to get past me. That's just, you know, it has nothing to do with, I have to be on the front. That is like a very noticeable thing I'm seeing now on, you know, on social media. People seem to think that Songbird is one, not all people, but some people, that
people.
She's very one-dimensional. I just don't agree.
Oh, she's not at all one-dimensional.
This is our early part of the podcast rant, I guess.
Yeah, no, she's not at all one-dimensional. You know, what are you going to do? People are going to say things.
I've kind of just resorted to that. I kind of compared her, I very specifically said, not like, it's not like we're saying this horse is like American Pharoah, like as good as American Pharoah, mm-hmm. but in a way that American Pharoah found himself on the lead a lot of the time, but it wasn't because he had to go to the lead. It's just his running style, the way he ran, how fast he was, just was very fast and was faster than anyone else.
Isn't it kind of amazing? She ran a 93 buyer speed figure, which geared down. I mean, that's very, very yeah. good. He ran a 110 in the Arkansas Derby geared down. So his geared down was still 17 points better. I mean, that's amazing, but that's another subject. But yeah, I would be beyond shocked if there's a horse that goes out and runs 22 and 44 and she's right there in a speed duel with that horse.
Mm-hmm.
Just completely ass shocked.
Yep. Yeah. Until we, so, I just don't see it.
No.
I don't see it at all. And I think we may not see it because I don't know if there's a horse that can go out there. I guess
there isn't. I don't think.
Somebody,
you've got to think in the Kentucky Oaks, somebody will try to do that.
And almost on Saturday, it seemed like, and I don't even know the horse because, I mean, no one knew hardly any horses in that race. other than, I guess, O'Neill had a horse in there that was pretty good that finished second. But, yeah. No, I mean, those two horses aren't, like, in the first turn, you can mm-hmm. tell those two horses, at least one of them wanted the lead. They thought, we're going to go challenge her. They couldn't touch her.
No.
They just couldn't touch, and one of them ended up going backtracking on the backstretch. So
I remember that.
It was
yeah.
over, so. It just goes to show you that people might try, but
well, you know,
be successful.
If you're a horse and you're in a just kind of cruising around back there, and you're the other horse and you're trying as hard as you can to get next to that horse and you can't do it, you're gonna say the hell with it a lot
yeah.
of times.
It reminds me of Terry Aldi in the
Belmont.
In the Belmont,
yeah.
we're gonna run with him. We're gonna really yeah. do it. No, your horse is still on the last lap there at Belmont. Yeah. I think right now,
and he's never finished or returned
yeah.
to the track again.
In my sense,
yeah.
So yeah, that's gonna show you when you try to run with these type of horses, it gets dangerous.
It's very hard to do. Yeah.
Hey, what was the best thing you saw today,
man? Another thing, last week it happened right before we came on the show, and this week same thing. The NHL Winter Classic has been announced for 2017, and they're coming to Busch Stadium for the Blues Blackhawks. I mean, yeah, it's gonna be great. I will 100% be at that game. That will be a lot of that'll be a lot of fun.
Oh, dude! I mean, and I love hockey. I'm a Blues fan, but not as big as you. But that's a game. If I can go, I'm gonna try to go because that would be so much. Because you know, yeah. if you're a baseball fan, you've been to Busch Stadium. it's just crazy to think how they're gonna position it. And I always get intrigued by when you see them in other stadiums. So that'd be really cool.
Yeah, the Winter Classic. If you're not an NHL fan or don't follow NHL, basically, they play it in like a baseball stadium, and it's an outdoor hockey game, the first of every year, and it's really went over huge. They've had it at Fenway, they've had it at Wrigley Field.
Yeah.
They've had it in Canada, obviously. It's huge. It's a huge event. And to come to Busch Stadium, it's great. It'll be a lot of fun.
Best thing I saw today, this is kind of, I saw some of it today, but this is almost an overall, this is the best thing I've seen in a long time. And we've been talking about it nonstop. It's the damn O.J. Simpson TV show.
Yep.
I watched the end of it today. Then I watched that Dateline special that I had taped. DVR'd. I watched that today as well. But I just have to say, I mean, that special, that OJ special on FX, I believe it is amazing.
It's so good.
It is so good. We're talking 20 plus years now, and I'm still so intrigued by it. So that's the best thing I've seen today. It's the best thing I've seen in the last month. It's great.
I'm with you.
On today's show, we preview two Kentucky Derby preps. That's right, two. We have a huge show ahead of us here. The Tampa Bay Derby and the San Felipe, as well as a big cat from Santa Anita. We give rapid fire selections and throw down the rant of the week. Let's go. The Tampa Bay Derby. This will be the first of two Kentucky Derby prep races we're going to talk about tonight. The Tampa Bay Derby, it's worth 50 points to the winner, 2010-5 after that. Your boy, Brody's Cause, finally shows up for this one. It's worth $350,000 for three-year-olds, of course, going a mile 16th. It is a grade 2, field of 10, awesome banner. Also, somehow, from the Fountain of Youth, says, all right, we're going to run them here again. We're going to try that again. But I think the main horse here, Brody's Cause. We have Destin in here. Pletcher's got another one by the name of Outwork Rafting. A lot of horses we know, Riker. But Brody's Cause is a horse that you, I know, have been watching patiently, waiting, seeing what this horse is going to do. Can he come back and make his comeback a winning one?
Well, the fantasy team certainly hopes so, because we need something in a bad way.
You need a star is what you need.
You know, this is a horse that's been well documented. I've liked him from day one, and I was a little surprised that it's taken him this long to get back to the races and make his 2016 debut. Obviously, the race centers around him. It really does. It is all about him. He's the only one in this race that really has a lot of hype, and you think, okay, he could actually be a legit contender. But there also are some horses in here that I find very interesting that are coming back, or whether it be off poor efforts or whether it be to the races in general, that are coming back that could actually be pretty decent. And you mentioned the first one we'll talk about, Awesome Banner. Coming back off a very quick turnaround, no doubt about it, but a complete non-effort in the Fountain of Youth, right? I mean, it was
non-existent, really.
Something happened that was just terribly wrong in that race. So, to me, I give him a little bit of a shot here, but the problem I hate with him in this race, there's a ton of speed, and he looks like a horse that has no interest in rating at all. So I think he could be in for a really tough trip this time at Tampa. And he also draws far outside, which if he did have a little bit of stalking ability, you would think, okay, that's good. But for a horse that I think just wants to go right to the front, I think he could get hung out wide. I think a lot of bad things could happen to him. So I don't like it. If he had the rail, I would like him a little bit more. Riker, that's a horse coming back. A lot of people kind of really like this horse. I don't so much, but he's one that we've heard of that could jump up and do good things.
Yeah, of course, people remember Riker, the last time this horse was on the track, was in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile.
Exactly, under Brody's Cause.
But also under another trainer. So now we have Mark Cassie training this horse. I mean, I know you love Cassie.
Well, you know, I think you get Giroux to ride, and I think Cassie...
True, there's a lot of things like there.
Yeah, and you look at this. Okay, Brody's Cause finished third in the Breeders' Cup. Riker finished sixth, but the difference between third and sixth, not much.
No, not at all.
Not at all. So if you like Brody's Cause, you might as well like Ryker.
Mm-hmm. Ryker did all the dirty work.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's one that he's sneaky. You know, he's very sneaky. He could jump up and run a nice race. I think Economic Model is a horse that could jump up and run a nice race. When you look at it, last time out, he got smoked, but it was at 7 furlongs against Awesome Banner, who's very, very good.
Yeah.
Distance.
And nowadays, that's when we know. I mean, that's when Awesome Banner was at his absolute best.
Absolutely, but we think we know Economic Model will be better going longer. So
should be.
I mean, I think that was a really nice prep for this race. This is a good spot for him. I don't think he's without a shot. Pletcher has two in here. Outwork, you know, pretty nice horse, 2 for 2. Uncle Mo, stretching out, but has ran at Tampa. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
And also Destin, who won the prep for Pletcher, the Sam F. Davis. He won it. So, and he's another one. He just seems to kind of be developing. So
yeah, you know, with Destiny, he looked okay in Ole Comte, not bad, not great.
Mm-hmm.
But past, you know, scratched that race out. He had looked good prior, and he looked really good in the Sam F. Davis. So this is a horse that continued to improve. Could be pretty good here, and like you say, it's, you know, he has a race under his belt too at Tampa.
And then the ultimate wild card, the last one I'll mention, number 9, Tale of Saval. Very good maiden race at Saratoga. I remember marking that down and thinking, that is a very nice horse. I only ran it one other time. That was in the Champagne in the Slop. Set the pace, got beat by about 7 lengths, but finished 5th. But Slop, first time in the Slop, first time in stakes. That was a very tough setup for him.
Hadn't ran since, though.
Hasn't ran since. Probably going to need a race. I wouldn't pick him here, but that's one to just keep an eye on. Remember that horse. All in all, I did go Brody's Cause because I think he's going to get the perfect setup. There's a lot of speed in the race. But think about some other ones as well. Don't leave it all to Brody's Cause here. There's too many sneaky horses that we talked about to not play in exotics. But on top, I did put Brody's Cause.
Yeah, I looked a lot of different directions here, and Outwork was one of them that I really wanted to land on, just because I obviously like what Pletcher can do at, you know, whenever he stretches one out first time. And then also when you, obviously we talked about it time and time again, it's like on the loop here, but when you see a horse going from maiden to allowance to mm-hmm. a stakes, he's taking the progressions. So he does have the making to be pretty good, and like you say, his last race was at Tampa, so he's got that under his belt. I just couldn't get over the fact how much this race pointed towards Brody's Cause for a reason of the way it sets up the pace. This horse is pretty one-dimensional in that he comes from off the pace. He's not going to be on the lead. You're not going to find this horse on the lead.
Nope.
And you'll find that he runs best when there's speed up front. Well, we've got a ton of pace. Awesome Banner, you've mentioned all of them. Awesome Banner, Ryker, Morning Fire, maybe even Outwork. We don't really know yet for sure what that horse will do, but those are at least three that we know are going to vie for the front. This is going to be a hot pace. It should set up nicely for Brody's Cause. The fear is he hasn't ran since the Breeders' Cup. How is he going to, you know, he's been MIA, really, totally. So
yeah.
What was the deal? He looks good on paper. His workouts look good. He's been working out just fine. I like that Romans actually took him out on the track at Tampa.
Me too.
That's really nice that he did that. Still, we don't, you know, it's a totally different thing whenever you come to, you know, a race. So I'm taking Brody, but I'm with you. I'm not going to say I'm going to single Brody here and go deep in another lake. This is one you have to go deep into. So that's the dangerous part about this race. Where do you single?
You don't. You just don't single.
You just spend a lot of money.
You go, I guess, to another race and single and go deep there. It's not a race that...
I know where you single, by the way.
Well, yeah, you may be tapping. Okay. We'll talk about that later. But it's not a race that just an average fan's going to look at and think, oh, this is really solid. But if you've done your homework, there's a lot of horses that you hate to kind of bet against because you're going to feel kind of dumb if they beat you because you know they've got talent. But then again, the same horses, you feel dumb if you bet them because you know they have some issues that could prevent them from running a real good race. So very contentious field is how I would call it, and a field that could produce a real contender that's kind of a sleeper.
Yeah, the Brody's Cause definitely could be.
Mm-hmm.
He could go from being a thought that we don't even know if he can come back to the track, to being a kind of in that top five close area there. Mm-hmm. So after this week, you don't know. So yeah, I'm going Brody as well. Definitely interested to see what he does when he comes back, but caution in this race. But ultimately, the dudes are on Brody. Santa Anita on Saturday, the San Felipe Stakes. This course is the second Kentucky Derby prep race we're going to talk about. 50 points to the winner as well, 2010-5. Again, this is, if the Tampa Bay Derby was exciting for Brody, this race is exciting because it is loaded. It's only a field of seven. It's worth $400K for three-year-olds. It's still the same distance, mile 16th. Field of seven, like I mentioned, but it is absolutely chock full. I'll just run down the field. Uncle Lino, Dancing Candy, More Spirit, Cupid, I Will Score, Smoky Image, and Exaggerator. More Spirit is probably going to be your favorite here, but it's wide open.
Well, I will break it down to you like this. Three of our top five Kentucky Derby prospects are in the race. Four of our top 13 are in the race. Dancing Candy's at 13. So four horses ranked in the top 13 in the race. The three that are not ranked are still very good. Uncle Lino, a horse that almost beat More Spirit last time out in the Robert B. Lewis. I Will Score, another horse that almost beat More Spirit. Yeah, those were the top three finishers of the Robert B. Lewis. Very good horses. Both horses that I have considered ranking a few times. And then the last horse is Cupid, a horse that stretched out for the first time last time out in a maiden. And dominated and ran a speed figure that is similar to all of these in here.
And also out of Bob Baffert Barnes. So this is another very, very potentially derby type horse.
Could be a derby type horse, could be nothing, but you don't know coming into this race. Very good. Will probably be the longest shot on the board. And, you know, in other derby prep races, maybe would have been under 10 to 1, let's say. So a very, very strong field, the best.
And then you have Smoky Image on the other end, who is undefeated, but it's the first time we're running against open company here at California Bred. So here we go again. Now we have this whole other aspect to it. Yes, we have a very good horse, but how will he step up with these type of horses?
There's an article on the website right now, racingdudes.com, if you don't know what you're listening to, that compares Smoky Image and California Chrome and how they're very similar in a lot of ways. One way that I thought they were extremely different and where California Chrome had a huge advantage, you look at his San Felipe, he had to beat Midnight Hawk. That is it. Those other horses in that race were god-awful. They couldn't beat anybody. They are just terrible. And Midnight Hawk was terrible, too.
He turned out to be very bad.
So it was very easy for California Chrome to win that race. Now, looking back on what we know now, even if it was tougher, he probably still would have won. But Smoky Image, it's a much, much more challenging race for him.
Mm-hmm.
If he goes out and wins this race, I will rank him number one in the Kentucky Derby rankings. I'm just going to say it right now. You know, if he can do anything close to what California Chrome did, he's number one. And to that regard, whoever wins this race has got a shot to be number one.
So this is More Spirit is obviously ranked. More Spirit ranked number three.
Number three, Smoky Image is two.
So either one of those wins. Mohaman sitting idle at number one.
Mm-hmm.
You're kind of looking for a reason anyways with Mohaman to kind of, you're not totally convinced. And I'm with you on that one. So, yeah, I mean, if you see something here, because this is a very competitive field. More Spirit is a horse who, while is a favorite and is a deserving favorite, he's a very odd horse in a way that, he's not going to blow you out of the water in a win. You watch the Robert B. Lewis, and I remember that race very well. I remember watching that race very well and how impressed I was. You look on paper, he only won by a length and a half. But you watch that race, and it's a very calculated length and a half by Gary Stevens. The horse is somewhat lazy. It's been shown. It's very documented in workouts. The horse had to just stop a workout because of that similar situation. The last workout, it looked great. So he's just a horse that I think's figuring it out. And I do think you and I speculated on this a lot. We know zero inside information on this, so we can speculate as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird to us who Mr. Oaklawn, Bob Baffert, has no horses that we know of
mm-hmm.
scheduled to ship to the Rebel, which is worth $900,000.
Mm-hmm.
This race is not worth $900,000, and he's got two, More Spirit and Cupid. It's very odd to us that one of them did not ship. And if past years have shown us anything, that horse would have been More Spirit that would have shown up for the Rebel. So I take that for what it's worth, I guess.
Well, I think that it's even more intriguing that right after the Robert B. Lewis, he said, I don't know where he'll go next, but he's going to get on a plane for his next race.
He's going on a plane somewhere. So we thought, well, he's coming to Hot Springs.
It was a perfect fit.
Yeah.
But then I don't think he's taking a plane from the barn to the paddock.
No.
So
I don't know what has happened. I don't know. It's very intriguing. So, you know, if he doesn't have enough faith to mm-hmm. ship him all the way to Hot Springs, then if this field comes up tough, which it seems it is he good enough to do it? I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of speculation there.
I think More Spirit is, and I told this to you privately, and I'll say it publicly. I think he's like that kid in your high school that is just an amazing athlete, and he can do anything. But instead of practicing, he goes and smokes weed in the bathroom every day.
So you're saying More Spirit does weed?
Yeah, I think that's what he is. Like, I really think he's got an amazing amount of talent, but I don't think he likes to do anything. And I don't think he really knows what he's doing out there. And I said that before this crazy workout where he just got pulled up in work and he stopped mid-work. I said that after the last race that he doesn't really get it.
Yeah.
You know, you could tell because he should have just blew past those horses, but he had to be asked. He didn't have to be asked because he was getting tired. He had to be asked because he didn't know what the hell he's doing. So I think they made the smart move. Leave him at home. Let's, you know, try to, you know, progress him. Like, you know, don't just throw him on a plane and throw him in a new environment. They're trying to progress him. I think it's the right move. Because of that, I actually am going to pick the weed smoker to win the race.
Oh man,
I'm picking him to win it. I do, and I like Smoky Image, and I hope Smoky Image wins. To be honest with you, I think it'd be really cool. But More Spirit for me.
Well, hey, you know, ultimately, this is a horse who, and I'm talking about More Spirit, that I think has a very big chance in winning the Kentucky Derby if he gets his talent to, if he gets his talent to work. Best way to say this, he's got the ability to win the Kentucky
Derby. Mind,
he's got to be able to get his mind right, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, be kind of mature in that aspect, because his talent alone, it's very, very clear this horse is very good, because when you feel like he's giving you 70%, he goes right by the horses. So I feel like if they can figure that out, maybe that's why Baffert's saying, let's just stay home and let's get it all worked out instead of shipping. That might be the case. But I think this horse is still, I believe in his talent. So I'm with you. I'm going with my boy More Spirit. A horse that kind of scares me a little bit, and that's Dancing Candy. His numbers are just out of the park. If this horse can stretch out and get on the lead and kind of, If you know, the danger with this is, you know, what is Dancing Candy and Smoky Image gonna, you know, how are they gonna
mm-hmm.
kind of clash a little bit? Because both of them seem to be wanting to go in the front, but Smoky Image has done both, so be interesting to see. But if for some reason, you know, Dancing Candy can get on the lead, this is a dangerous horse. So it'd be tough to run that horse down. But and I'm with you as well. Smoky Image would be great. Be great to win.
Yeah.
But, I got to see it. And I'm going to puke if that horse wins and does it like by 10. Because you and I both had the chance to have that horse on our team. We both passed.
And that kind of tells you the thing of it's just, you just don't have that confidence in him. You know, and I probably, well, I know I didn't have the confidence in California Chrome either. But after that race, you kind of, it grew.
But you worry, you say, well, we would never have, like, we know now California Chrome was a clear, complete fluke. You may never see it again.
Mm-hmm.
And then here comes a couple of years later, a horse is just like him, and you say, well, this is the next Kentucky Derby winner. We need to jump on board. Well, maybe not. So it's,
yeah.
it's you have to be very cautious of that.
And we've talked all this time, and Exaggerator hasn't even been brought up.
But I have him on my screen here because I was going to mention him.
Go ahead, because this horse ran excellent. But can he run really well going two turns? He hasn't yet.
No, he hasn't. And, you know, I wanted to mention him because we just talked about him a little bit ago with Brody's Cause. And, you know, this is a horse who we thought it's okay. You know, in the Delta, he won. He beat Sonny Ridge, who came back to win, but it's like, what the, you know, we've kind of proven that Sonny Ridge isn't...
He's just average.
Not much to brag about, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know, you know, it's like, I thought he was going to win the Breeders' Feet Charity that day, looked like the winner, and Brody ran him down. So I don't know if he's that good at a mile 16th. Like you said, that day against Nyquist at 7 furlongs at Santa Anita, he was great.
Yeah, even though he lost, it's like, wow, you had that punch. But, and he hasn't even, like you said, even in the Delta Downs, he won, but it just, he didn't look like the same horse as when he goes one turn, so.
But, you know, you think at a curling, this horse would be very, very good at the distance, so.
That's the thing that kind of pisses you off with him, because, I mean, okay, so when he won at Saratoga, he was amazing, and everybody thought, wow, what is he going to do when he stretches out? He could be some kind of monster. Well, he hasn't been. But then when you cut him back again for that race against Nyquist, even though he lost, he ran really well. So I don't know. I don't know what to make of him. I would love to see him run well here, but I'm not sure.
So this race is very full of question marks. It's moving day this weekend at Santa Anita for the Kentucky Derby. Yeah. We have a lot of answers and maybe some more questions afterwards. But at least we'll have an idea. We have... on a few of these where they belong. But for now, for today, for the San Felipe, more spirit for the dudes. And last but not least, to stay at Santa Anita for race 10, the Santa Anita Handicap, of course, the big cap. It's a grade one worth $1 million for 4-year-olds and up, going 1.25 miles. Field of 9. It's not the strongest big cap we've ever seen. And actually, just before we just came on air here, this is a race that if you cover the name and the, what it was worth and the graded, you'd say, well, this is definitely a rapid fire race. Mm-hmm. This is not one we're going to talk a lot about, but yet it's a grade one and it's worth $1 million. What happened here?
It's very sad with all the horses that have opted to go to Dubai.
I think that's what's overall is happening in Dubai.
Yeah, it's really killed it. And you know, not so much in previous years, it really hasn't, but this year it just really hurt.
When you think of, like, you know, Chrome would run in this.
Yeah.
If he was here, Opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say Opportunity is so much we're missing.
Well, you might get like a Frosted even to run in it, because it's $1 million, it's a prestigious grade one race, but yeah. Not anymore. Not
instead
this year.
We get, what, maybe FNX, yeah. Imperative.
Which FNX is nothing to sneeze at, but then the rest of them. You tell me. I mean, it's just...
Yeah, I mean, you got a Field of 9, and you got horses like Donworth who, you know, could improve.
Probably won't.
You know, we kind of saw the same race already, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, the San Antonio was kind of, you know, you had Opportunity in that, but you had Imperative, you had Donworth. I don't know. It's just, you know, you get 1.25 miles, you get... These sometimes are kind of weird races the longer you go. I guess, you know, FNX, he proved a lot when he ran so well in the Breeders' Cup. I mean, everyone kind of, that caught our attention. And mm-hmm. then he backed it up by winning the Clark. So you say, okay, well, I mean, the Clark wasn't exactly loaded, but he ran a good race that day. So is this horse a for real horse now?
Even if he has to win, right? If he's not a for real horse, he has to win this race. I you know what though, I think he is. I where he proved it to me, okay, he ran great in the classic. There's no denying that.
Yeah.
But when he came back and won the Clark, I thought that to me was like, okay, they've got him right. He's very, very good. And don't forget, he beat earlier in the year, last year, he beat Tonalist.
Yep.
And not that, I mean, a lot of people beat Tonalist that year, but he really shouldn't have, and he did. You know, he
in the Suburban, yeah.
Yeah, he gutted it out, and he
at
beat.
At the same distance that we're running here, so.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's enough for me, and especially against a field that is just pathetic, and I don't think he's pathetic. I don't think he's great, but I don't think he's pathetic. I think he's pretty decent.
Yeah.
I
think more my logic was with this race is like, okay, so Opportunity beat Donworth in Imperative in San Antonio.
Mm-hmm.
FNX beat Opportunity. Mm-hmm. Okay. So in the Clark. So yep. that those are the Imperative, Donworth, and FNX to me are the three that yeah. I think are the most talented in this field. By logic, I'm saying, okay, well, I gotta go FNX. Now, with Donworth, if this horse can improve off his, you know, this will be his second start off a long layoff. If this horse improves, I mean, he ran a really nice race. I mean, think about it. If you go from not running since, you know, June of 2015, and you jump into the San Antonio going a mile and an eighth for your first start, and you finish a very, very respectable third. I mean, he had the lead in the stretch.
Mm-hmm.
If this horse can improve off that, yeah, this horse has a real shot. So do you take that banking on the improvement, or do you say, okay, FNX is the more true horse that I can count on?
Donworth just didn't really look like a horse that I think can jump up and improve. He just is kind of the same every time. He ran a whole lot like he'd been running in the past. Decent, good enough to get up and hit the board, not good enough to actually win. I think if he was a good horse, he would have won that race last time out. Lay off, throw it out. I still think he would have won. I don't think he improves much. I think the only other horse that you could play is General A-Rod. Even though I hate that horse. Listen, Pletcher, maybe he gets him right at the right time, and he comes up. Yeah, you say he is a poor horse, for sure, and he sucks. He's not any good. But maybe, you know, that he does kind of have the look of a horse that might, for Pletcher, run nice. You know, but I just don't think you can think any of them can beat FNX if he shows up and just runs a normal race.
I do like how they got FNX on the track already. Mm-hmm. Got a workout under his belt. We did a nice workout.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, I go with FNX. Of course, Mike Smith, back on board for the third straight time, has ran pretty well or rode him pretty well.
Yes.
And now there's two starts. So. Yeah, I'm going to FNX as well. Having Mike Smith certainly doesn't hurt. He looks to become, I don't know if you know this, the first rider ever to win four straight Santa Anita handicaps, the big
cats. Wow. No, I didn't realize that. He should do it.
Here, quick trivia for you. I just removed it. Do you know his last three winners were?
Well, Shared Belief was definitely one of them. Game On Dude. This is gonna be a tough one now.
It is.
Game On Dude. Tricky. Shared Belief. Oh gosh.
Shared Belief was last year.
Yep.
The year before that was Game On Dude.
Yep. Year before that. I thought Game On Dude won it twice in a row. Did Game On Dude, answer me this. Did Game On Dude win, lose, win the big cap? Didn't he win? Like the year before that, Chantel was on. I don't even remember
the whole deal.
Yeah, it was a big ordeal. But yeah. Game On Dude won.
Lost,
and then he lost the next one, and then he won.
You're right.
The next one. Now, hold on, though. Don't tell me yet. Let me think. It's that missing one that I'm not sure on.
Or are you?
Did Game On Dude win it 3 years in a row?
No, there was a gap.
Okay, but yeah, so Chantel rode him. The first one. I don't know.
I hear a timer going on.
Okay. There. I don't know. I'll
pull up the results for you here. Okay.
Okay. Go right ahead.
So you got Shared Belief, Game On Dude, Game On Dude, Ron the Greek, Game On Dude. So this horse, Game On Dude, won it.
Okay.
So Mike Smith rode Game On Dude, Game On Dude, Shared Belief.
So it was Game On Dude, Ron the Greek, and then Game On Dude twice.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, there you go.
But in the race that Ron the Greek won,
mm-hmm.
did Game On Dude even run that?
I don't think he ran it. That year.
No. But that's pretty impressive.
Ron the Greek. That's
blast from the past right there.
Right. For sure. And so FNX and Ron the Greek, kind of a little bit alike.
And Mike Smith ran third that year, too, to Uh-Oh Bango, or with Uh-Oh Bango.
If Uh-Oh Bango finished third in the race, maybe this isn't the worst. Maybe this isn't the worst Santa Anita handicap of all time. Ron the Greek, yeah, that's interesting. I'd totally forgotten that he had won that thing.
So you know the this year's Santa Anita handicap is bad. Mm-hmm. When we ended up talking about Ron the Greek and Uh-Oh Bango.
Oh, man, yeah. That's bad.
All right, so FNX for the dudes. Uh-Oh Bango to round out your tribe. Time for Rapid Fire Selections, brought to you by...
Looking for some action? Well, if it's sports and casino action you're after, USRacing.com has got you covered. At USRacing.com, you can get the latest betting lines on pro and college football, basketball, and all the MLB and NHL action, too. Heck, you can even get the latest odds in the presidential race, the Academy Awards, or who's going to be the next James Bond. So if you're looking for some sports and casino action, look no further than USRacing.com, the place that's setting the pace.
Santa Anita Race 6, the Frank E. Kilroe Mile Stakes to Grade 1 with $400K for 4-year-olds and up, going 1 mile on the turf. Field of 7 here, Om draws the rail, and Bolo, the 4-horse. Where are you going?
The theme of this rapid fire for me is going to be surprises and home track biases. That's the two things.
Okay.
That's going to be for me. Surprise for you in this first one. Bala Bali is who I'm going with here.
You know I hate that horse.
I know you do, and that's not why I picked him. Flavian Pratt. Jockey's riding better than anybody in the country, I would say right now. Right up there, at least, with anybody in the country. He rode your horse, Bolo, last time out. He also rode Bala Bali last time out. Who's he on? Bala Bali. That's right. Flavian makes the choice. Bala Bali, gonna get it done this time.
I don't want to hear it, okay? Bolo is my pick here. I don't think it's any secret anymore of this horse. When this horse is right, he's fantastic on the turf. He showed it last out by winning the Grade 2 Arcadia over, obviously, and your boy, Om.
Yeah.
He's 4-for-6 on the turf, 2-for-3 at this distance, and a perfect 3-for-3 on a Santa Anita turf course. Bolo. Race 9, the San Carlos Stakes. It's a Grade 2 worth $300K for 4-year-olds and up, going 7 furlongs at Santa Anita, field of 8. Calculator returns back to the track after making his return last month. Number 1, the number 1 horse, your boy Pratt, is riding him. So,
yeah.
I mean, are you going to continue that? Wild Dude, the horse that we know is very, very good at Santa Anita at this distance. The 3 horse and Kobe's back. This horse shows up for all these type of races at Santa Anita.
Like I told you, the theme is either a surprise or home track. Wild Dude, he's back home at Santa Anita. He loves his home track. He gets it done.
Hey, I nearly went with him, okay? I wanted
but you
to.
Didn't.
I'm glad you did. I just don't think... Okay, here's the deal. With the two horses that I... Outside of the one I picked, Wild Dude, the 3, and Kobe's back, the 8. I don't think there's enough pace for Kobe's back. And I think Wild Dude might need a race because it's been a little bit of time since
he's
Wild
Dude. He's home.
Okay, we get it. We all get it. He's home. I think it seems like the connections with Calculator are saying Breeders' Cup Mile. That's kind of where they're pointing to. So it seems like 7 furlongs, we're going to see this kind of race from him all year, assuming all things are good. I think... After that last race, which he got tested a little more because of the bad start, I think he's even more fit and more ready. I think he needs to have a better start out of the gate, but Calculator for sure.
That was a hell of a race he ran last time. He's a hell of a horse, but Wild Dude
but
is at home.
But he's not at home.
he is at home, actually. He's very much at home, too, yeah. But so is Wild Dude.
So is Calculator Wild Dude. Let's head to Tampa Bay Downs, race 8, the Florida Oaks, the Grade 3, with 200K. For Philly's 3-year-olds, going a mile 1/16 on the turf. This is an easy race. I mean, 14 horses, 3-year-old Phillies, wide open. Where are you going?
I hate this race. Yeah, like you said, 14 of them, 3-year-olds, on the turf. No problem,
yeah,
right?
No problem.
Listen, I really like the horse Price to Perfection and Spinamis for Pletcher. Finished second to Price to Perfection last time out. Good enough for me to just be enough of a hunch to just kind of nudge that horse to the winner's circle for me. But any of them have a shout here.
What is I said last time? I think it was the last time. What's better than Todd Pletcher on the turf? That's Chad Brown on the turf. I went with number 4. Ava's Kitten. Classy horse who started career at Saratoga running well against horse named Harmonize. I don't know if you've heard of Harmonize.
I've heard of Harmonize.
Has since won her last 2 starts. All 4 races have been on the turf, and now you get Chad Brown at Rad Ortiz. Not a bad combo there. She has the experience, and Brown hits nearly 30% off a layoff, as she has not ran since October 31st. So you take your Todd Pletcher on the turf, I'll take Ava's Kitten. Stay at Tampa Bay, race 10, the Hillsborough Stakes, the Grade 2, or 200K for fillies and mares, 4-year-olds and up, went a mile and an eighth on the turf field of 10. And, of course, it's led by the 6-horse Teppan. This horse is a beast. Sticking with her.
What was the theme? Surprise?
Surprises and...
Or home track.
This is not really our Teppan's home track, though.
Exactly. A surprise. Ooh. I'm going against Teppan. Ball dancing for me. Coming back off the layoff, ball dancing is going to be ready to go. Teppan's going a little bit further than I think she wants to go. Ball dancing in an upset.
Hey, you know what? This is a horse who is very... I've been looking for this horse to make the, come back to the track.
You're shocked.
I'm shocked that you picked against Teppan, to be honest. But this would be my second horse. I mean, if you look past that joke of a race that she ran that day at Belmont when we were there and we lost the Grand Slam because of her, no big deal. Yeah. I'm still not over it.
Me neither.
But when she before that race, I mean, this is a grade one winning horse. I mean, she's a great horse. So if she could get back to that, obviously something went wrong. She hasn't ran since June. If she's back to that, this horse could be very dangerous. But Teppan is Teppan. Has she won on this distance? Not technically. No. But she's not ran this distance running the way she's running right now. So
true.
I just cannot get past Teppan. I agree. I like that you went ball dancing. I like that you have a little bit of balls over
balls,
there. But
yeah.
I was going to say guts. But
my balls are dancing, man.
Yeah. His balls are dancing. I'm going with Teppan. Let's go to New York. Aqueduct Race 8. The Tom Fool Handicap to Grade 3. We're 200K. For 4-year-olds and up, going 6 furlongs. Field of 11 shows up for this one, and it's led. It's got to be led by number 9, Salutos Amigos, right?
Yep, back on his home track.
Oh, here we go.
And he ran very well, to be honest, though, at Santa Anita. He ran well. He just got beat, but he is super tough at Aqueduct. He won this race last year. He's going to do it again.
He's 3-for-3 at Aqueduct. Loves the track. He can mop up this field. I'm with you. Salutos Amigos for me. Let's wrap this up at Oaklawn Park Race 8. The Honeybee Stakes. It's a grade 3. It's worth 50 points to the winner, 20-10-5 for the Kentucky Oaks. So this is a big race. Not very many horses showed up, really, per se. No. 6 horses show up. It's running at mile 16th. Of course, 3-year-old fillies. Where are you going? I mean, it seems like there's a few, you know, Aspie's got a couple in here that we've seen before. Is there any surprises here?
You know, I don't know what the morning line odds will be, but I don't think it's a surprise when Terra Promessa wins this race and wins it easily, and I think she'll be the favorite for sure. She ran in an allowance race the same weekend that they ran the Martha Washington in at Oaklawn, and I thought her allowance race easily would have won the Martha Washington. So yeah. Now she's in the Honeybee. Clearly the next step for her. I don't think it's going to be a problem. I think she gets it done. You know, I kind of like Marquis Miss a little bit for Ingrid Mason. I nicknamed the stable mate there for Terra Promessa is not bad either. Honestly, Cosmic Evolution, very nice horse. But I don't think they're in the same class as Terra Promessa. So I'm going to give her a shot.
Yeah, I'm with you. I went Terra Promessa as well. I mean, out of Curlin. You know, she lost her debut start, but since then she's won her last two. She's 2-for-3 lifetime. What I really like about it is both her wins were at this exact same distance. So she's a very classy horse. She's very established at this distance. It's no concern. I really just don't see this race being much of a problem. Nickname, you know, really didn't look that good last time out. Got beat by our Marquis Miss. I think Terra Promessa can mop those horses up. So I this is a horse that we'll probably see more. I mean, this is a horse that we'll see in the Kentucky Oaks for sure, I think. Now, where she can do it from there, I'm not sure. But definitely can win the Honeybee.
Yeah, you're right. I think she's an Oaks filly for sure. I don't know if she can compete with those two monsters. I probably don't think she can. But very nice, up-and-coming type of filly. In a very good spot
here. People who change their original bets because the odds drop on their horse.
And we're not talking about odds dropping to 1-9. We're talking about a horse that's 5, 6, 8-1 on the morning line, and it drops to 2 or 3-1.
And all of a sudden, they can't bet it.
There is no reason to have that mindset ever. Ever. That's actually a good sign, guys. That's a very good sign. That means a lot of people like your horse.
People are so fascinated with being like the wise guy. You have to pick that horse, it's 8-1, it's 10-1. So when your horse that you picked at 10-1 morning line drops down to 4-1, you say, wow, whoa, I cannot pick this horse. when you there's every sign is pointing that you made the right choice. You did a great job handicapping. Go with it.
Yeah, it happens all the freaking time.
You see it all the time.
If you're on Twitter, it's going to happen almost every race.
Well, I don't know if I can play the horse at that price now.
Do you know what's worse than not cashing in on a 3-1? Not cashing at all.
Yeah. Because let me tell you guys something. The horse itself has no damn clue what its odds are. It doesn't care if it's 99-1 or if it's 1-9.
No.
So it's going to run the same either way. So you might as well try to cash it.
We really have gotten into the age of oh my gosh, we're going to make our own morning line and we're going to, if I can't accept these odds and this and that. If you think a horse is going to win and it's 3-1, that's not bad. That's really not bad odds.
No. I mean, 3-1, like you say, taking 3-1 or try to bet with a 10-1 who finishes fourth.
Yeah. There's only one horse that pays to win, and that's the one that wins. You don't get extra points when you lose on a 2-5 or a 10-1. It's a loss either way.
There's a perfect example of this was a few weeks ago when Converge ran, I think it was a Gulfstream Park, in that, I think it was a smaller stakes race. And the horse was 8-1 morning line. You and I both pegged that horse on the podcast. We said we both like this horse 8-1. Well, here comes, you know, more the day of. Here comes the race. Boom. The horse is bet down.
Yeah.
All the way down to ultimately, I believe it was like 5-2, 3-1, somewhere in that ballpark. And you see it on Twitter. You see, well, I liked it at 8-1. I can't play it at this price. Why?
What's the difference? If you think it's going to win, why don't you play it? It's crazy. It's absolutely, it's maddening. And a lot of times, guys, when you see a horse like Converge and he's 8-1, it's not so much that he should actually be 8-1 in the race. That is, the morning line guy did a terrible job.
Right.
Why should Chad Brown on the turf with a horse that won last time out and fits into a stakes race be 8-1 ever? How could you ever think that? And when you handicap the race, how did you ever think you were going to get 8-1?
So instead of playing that horse, you probably played whoever who was like maybe 4 or 5-1 who jumped up to 10. You say, whoa, there we go. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, and he lost.
And you lost. So, and you know, people are going to listen and say, well, that's not always true. That doesn't always happen. No, of course not. It doesn't always happen. No,
nothing always happens.
But it never fails. We have someone that says, oh, yeah, you know, you guys are wrong. But the moral of the story is, if you like a horse, play it.
Yeah. It's really a very simple concept.
It's all that could be summed into just what I just said.
Very, very simple.
That's all the time we have. Check us out at racingdudes.com for our free picks. And make sure you check out our new handicapping products page that has combined forces with both the Dudes and Guaranteed Tip Sheet to provide the best tip sheet on the market. 100% money back guarantee, and now covering all tracks. We're currently covering 18 tracks now. The list is growing slightly. Mm-hmm. All offering free picks, so check that out. We're on Twitter at @race_dudes, LinkedIn, Google+, and Facebook. All right, I'm Jared Welch. He's Aaron Haltman. Good luck this weekend.
For all of your needs, racingdudes.com. For all of your leads, racingdudes.com. For all of your bets, racingdudes.com. As good as it gets.